The following presentation is brought to you by the Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to country singer Amy Rose, who's making her second appearance on the show. Accompanied by guitarist and producer Marty, Mr. Awesomeness, Beecroft, not his real name, I believe. She'll play two songs live, including her latest single, Show Up Naked and Bring Beer, and her previous hit, Party Like a Redneck. Stick around. Like country music? Like beer? Like to party? You'll love Amy Rose.
That was good. That was really good. Believable.
So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Amazon.com. When you visit MrMedia.com and click on any of the links to purchase books, music, movies, gift certificates, or anything else through our Amazon link, you support this free video podcast. Whenever you need something else from Amazon, please consider returning to MrMedia.com to order it. It doesn't cost you any extra, and we sure appreciate the support. And don't forget, MrMedia.com has more than 1,200 celebrity audio and video interviews archived on the site. That's hundreds upon hundreds of hours free entertainment. Subscribe for free on MrMedia.com, and you'll instantly get an email every time a new interview is posted. You can also watch and subscribe to the show on YouTube, Vimeo, Dailymotion, The Realm Network, and Frequency.com. And if you preferred to just listen, Mr. Media is also available for free on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Podfeed.net, and Player FM. You can subscribe to any of those services and never miss another episode. Finally, you can interact with Mr. Media interviews on all kinds of social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and more. Friend or follow us, we'll friend or follow you back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of rednecks who think if Amy Rose records it, it must be the new national anthem in the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Amy Rose is a flirt. She's also blind as a bat. I know this because every text message from her addresses me as handsome. Now, I complain, but, well, you know, she may be blind, but I'm not stupid. A little flattery goes a long way in life. Now, the first time lovely Amy was a guest on Mr. Media, in December 2012, she charmed the pants off me. No doubt inspiring her latest single, Show Up Naked and Bring Beer.
Absolutely.
And if I'm wrong about that, I'd rather not know, dear Amy. We had a blast that day, and Amy even recorded an impromptu song about Mr. Media, which cheerfully welcomed guests to Mr. Media's YouTube page for more than a year. Since then, this crazy Canuck's career has been on fire. Amy just returned from the Nashville Universe Awards, where she was up for Female Artist of the Year. Last year, at the same ceremony, she won Video of the Year Award, the Video of the Year Award for Party Like a Redneck. Some of you may know that as Redneck Reunion. If you haven't heard Amy sing before, I think you'll find she's down home, a cross between the chops of Carrie Underwood and the attitude of Gretchen Wilson. She's country through and through. On today's show, Amy will perform two songs live, Party Like a Redneck and Show Up Naked and Bring Beer. Anybody picking up on a theme here? Amy Rose, welcome back to Mr. Media.
Hello, handsome.
Here we go. You folks think, you seem to think I make stuff up, but I mean, you're not going to deny that that's the way every message starts, right? Or ends.
I can't help myself. You're so darn irresistible.
Oh, God, she's so full of it. I know she's full of it because I know I follow her on Facebook, and I know that she's flirted with every podcaster, radio host in the United States and Canada, and probably in the territories as well.
They mean nothing to me like you do.
Yeah. Okay, bring it on. All right, so all right, we got that out of the way. Tell folks about the Nashville Universe Awards. I mean, that's been a pretty good venue for you the last 2 years, at least.
Oh, I love Nashville. I love going to Nashville, you know, when they'll have me. I like being able to go there and not get kicked out of the city. So, but no, Nashville's great. And, you know, it's the heart of country music. So, you know, to go down there and to just, you know, represent Canada and, you know, do what we love to do. And that's saying, right. And, you know, while we're there to be nominated for an award is just, it's such an honor.
Tell us about the awards themselves. Having never been there, I'm kind of curious, what's the event like? Where is it held? Who was there?
Well, this year it was at the Wild Horse Saloon, which is the, you know, anybody that knows Nashville that knows that the Wild Horse Saloon is like the most happening place. Great big venue. Stormy Warren, who is a huge DJ outside of Nashville for a station, was there, and he was the host. So that was fun. And, you know, I got to meet a lot of people that I've interviewed with in the past. Not nearly as good looking as you, but I got to meet them and, you know, finally put a face with the name, you know, because I don't get to see their face like I get to see yours.
I'm just speechless on my end. Is it a big event? I mean, is it a lot of performing? Is there, you know, what?
Yeah, I think this year I would say there was probably close to 1,000 people there, but it's like 5,000 members, I believe, that they're at now. And, you know, it's a great organization that helps out indie artists such as myself, and, you know, it gets us some recognition in the Nashville city.
And last year, and so in the 2013, I guess, you won the Video of the Year for Party Like a Redneck, which was a great video. I mean,
Thank you.
It's a great video. What did that do for you? I mean, being nominated and then actually winning, how did that change things for you?
You know, I totally was not expecting it. Honestly, when they called my name, I was kind of just like waiting for them to call someone else's name. I thought they were in the process of, you know, calling out the names for the nominees. And then, you know, just like, no, you go. I didn't know, you know, who to thank, what to say. I was speechless for once in my life, which never happens. We know that, right? I never have not words to say. But, yeah, it was such a great honor. And, you know, that song has done really great for me, you know, in Canada, in the U.S., in the U.K. You know, it's still going strong in the U.K. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to write it with this unbelievable guy standing right beside me, or sitting, he's not really standing. But, you know, and I owe him a lot because, you know, without his expertise and his brilliantness and his smartness and, you know, everything that he is, this song wouldn't have been written. So, you know, the song's done pretty well.
What kind of response have you gotten to the song from fans and radio, country radio in particular, because we know how important getting their attention is?
You know, I got a lot of great response, you know, from radio in the U.S. They loved it. And I think it was probably my biggest song to date that I've had, you know, it being picked up by CMT and a major corporation in the U.S. playing on all of the McDonald's and Harvey's or not Harvey's, Arby's, because you guys don't have Harvey's, right? It's Arby's down there. So, yeah, playing in all of those restaurants, you know, via videos. So, you know, the song has done really great, and, you know, fans just seem to love it. But, you know, who doesn't love rednecks? Everybody loves rednecks, right?
What's not to love?
You love them. You can't hate them. They're fun.
did you guys know that the song had like anthem written all over it when you wrote it and recorded it? Was it instant, or was it just like? Because I got to point out, while you think about that for a second, I went back and watched the first interview that we did, and you actually did two ballads on that show, and you know, this song, and I mean, it's very different from that, from, you know, what you performed the last time on this show. So I wondered if that kind of song surprised a lot of people coming from you.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people take me as a ballad singer. You know, I maybe because of my voice, or, you know, I don't think my personality strikes me as a ballad singer because I'm really outgoing and I'm spunky and, you know, I flirt a lot, right? So, you know, people kind of expect me to be that crazy girl that does crazy songs. You know, so when this came out, I think a lot of people just kind of went, huh, you know, she can be fun. She, you know, has heart, but she can be fun too. And I think that surprised people. And, you know, it's kind of funny because at the point when we were writing it, I don't think the redneck trend was really in, and then all of a sudden all these songs come out with redneck in it, you know, that you know, after ours had, you know, maybe they were already out, I don't know, and maybe I just didn't notice them until mine came out and it had that redneck theme, but, you know, this song was written based on my redneck family, and I come from probably one of the biggest redneck families that you could possibly imagine, like, we're a cross between Honey Boo Boo and Duck Dynasty, so... All of those teethless people in that music video, yeah, they belong to me.
Is that true? Is that actually a lot of family?
That's actually true. Don't tell anybody. I don't tell a lot of people, but yeah, all of those teethless rednecks in the video, we weren't actually acting. That's how we actually really are.
Authenticity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that makes the best songs, though, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it certainly worked for you. And, you know, I was just thinking about the difference between the ballads that you sang here on the last show and then the release of Party Like a Redneck, Redneck Reunion. To me, and I do not profess to have a great expertise in country, but to me, it's almost like the difference between all those years of syrupy love songs that Taylor Swift did, and then she puts out Shake It Off, which suddenly electrifies
people
who thought they couldn't stand Taylor Swift. and, I mean, you know, it's such a complete difference, and it really makes people look at you in a different way, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's one of those songs that it sticks with you, and it gives you a whole different perspective of that person, you know what I mean? Kind of like, you know, like you said, Shake It Off, Let It Go. It's one of those songs where you've had enough of it, but you love it so much that you just want to hear it again and again and again.
I have a buddy, Mike Collada, who's in country radio for a long time, and then the last 2 years have been actually up in Nashville running a label. And we had lunch. I hadn't seen him in a while. We had dinner just about 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about songs, and he was talking about. And I didn't know this. You probably know this. That someone had made a song called Solo Cups.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Toby Keith.
There you go. And so, and I'm like, okay. So you're telling me that he takes that he was looking at these red Solo Cups that, of course, are superfluous. They're everywhere, especially you know, backstage and clubs and outdoor concerts and stuff. And he made a song, and it became a hit. And he says, yeah, he says, you know, people know it so well. And I'm thinking, it's just crazy. But, you know, it shows a sense of humor, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? That song is huge, huge. And it was probably one of those songs, which most songs get written like this, right? But when we get really drunk and we put an object in front of us and we just sit there for hours staring at it going, what can I say about this thing? You're amusing. You're denying. You're so beautifying, you know? And then it turns into a hit song, like, seriously.
Man, I'm sure all those centuries of classical music composers are rolling in their graves thinking, if only I'd known it was that easy all this time.
I'm not going to lie. I have a picture of you sitting up in my bedroom, and every night I look at it, and, you know, I'm not drunk when I do it, you know, clearly, because I, you know, I'm not an AA or anything, right? But, and I look at it, and I write in my mind over and over again a song for you. Handsome.
Nobody's buying the BS, Missy. All right, I think we've pushed that a little too far. So let's do this. Let's actually, for people who have not heard "Party Like a Redneck," let's play it for them, and then we'll come back and we'll have plenty more to talk about. Plus, we still have another song coming up. So, folks, this is "Party Like a Redneck," sung by Amy Rose and played by Marty Beecroft.
That's how we get. We're down on country bumpkins at it again. Down the road, we all go. the barn, that's how we roll. If you want a good time, well, come on in. Yeah, it gets crazy, but we're having fun. So keep your party on when the work week is done. Come on down to our redneck reunion. Rainbow tops a four-way tree. Rainbow tails and two L's. Just the farmer's daughter's looking pretty. Uncle Jack's looking for love. We know how to hoot. We know how to holler. Jumping, get things spread underneath the blue collar. That's backwards, backwards as you win. Cause that's what happens when you're funny like a redneck. Beer flowing, God's knowing the peppers won't go in. So last year for the Tuesday, stood on the floor.
Absolutely love that song.
Thank you.
I don't know what to say. If you could see my iTunes where you can see the count, you would see that it gets played all the time. It's one of those songs.
Oh, my heart.
I kid you not. It's one of those songs that I have a group of, you know, about 25 songs, particularly when I've got to work and I got to get pumped up a little bit. I play that all the time.
Aww.
People have made lifelong careers on songs that do not have the fun and the energy and the... I love when you laugh at the end. I just think that's such a nice touch. And I've been wanting to ask you since I first heard the song, where did that laugh come from? Was that written in, or was that added? How did that come up?
It definitely wasn't written in.
That was just something we happened to catch while recording.
Yeah, I think, you know, Marty's always fun to work with.
So when I was mixing it, it was like, I gotta put that laugh in. And so you just experiment, you try it, and it's like, that's gotta stay. That's on the record. There you go.
I'm sure he said something funny and I laughed or something, you know, because Marty's so great to work with in the studio. The guy's like just awesome. So I'm sure he probably cracked a joke and I just, you know, laughed, and it was just
not hard to get us laughing.
No, it's that's all we do is laugh. I'm surprised we get work done.
Well, you know, there's a number of elements that are great about that song. I mean, it's got great lyrics. You know, the lyrics are catchy. You remember that. It's also it was interesting to watch you sing it live because at the beginning you start singing it with restraint. Like I, when you start singing it, I feel like, oh, she really wants to cut loose here. But no, she's got to hold on because that comes at the end. That's where she just really unleashes it. And so there's this great restraint as it starts, and then the lyrics build and the story kind of builds, and there's the humor. You know, if you're listening, you catch there's a lot of, you know, there's humor, and then there's that big laugh, and there's the big strong finish. It's just a really clever, you know, very cool song.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. It really makes us feel good when, you know, especially something that we wrote together, you know, that people like. We like it when people like us.
I like you a lot. I think I said that. But I got to ask you, now that I've said all those nice things, I got to ask you this. How will you react? You've got two girls?
I have three girls.
I'm sorry. I left somebody out. I apologize. So you've got three girls. So how will you react, unless it's already happened, the first time one of these girls gets in trouble and says, come on, Mom, I was just doing like you said in the song, you know, party like a redneck.
Well, I haven't experienced that yet. I don't know. That's a good question. What would I say? What would I say? You know, because I try. I know, you know, every parent, you know, wants to be their kid's best friend, right? We never want to give them trouble. You know, but obviously I'm a parent first and foremost, and their friend second. So I think if they said that to me, I would probably be speechless. Like I am right now because I don't have an answer.
I think that's kind of the danger sometimes in a song that's got sort of that message, is that it can come back and slap you in the face.
It can totally come back and bite me in the butt. Let's hope that it doesn't. Let's hope that my kids don't see this and that you're setting me up for like this big thing that they're going to now use this as ammo.
And it'll never happen.
Bob guy said that, you know, I was just doing what I was doing and I was partying like a redneck, like you said in your song. And then I'm going to find you, and I'm going to hunt you down.
Yeah, that'll be the end of the flirting, won't it? So, Marty, let me ask you a question. So when you're in the studio recording this, and obviously you guys wrote this together, you produced it, right? What are you looking for from Amy in performance for a song like this? Because it is different. It's not a ballad. It's there's a lot of energy. And how did it evolve from when you started recording it to the finished version?
Well, definitely emotion and energy are huge. I already know that if you're working with someone like Amy, you're going to get a technically solid performance already. Like that's, you don't have to worry about that part of it. So you immediately can really start with making sure that the energy is there, the vibe is there. Because if you don't have that, then it just goes flat. If you just have technical, you know, perfection, then it's like that's all well and good, but it doesn't come across to the listener. So it's about finding those takes that hit you, that, you know, literally kind of reach out and pique your interest, they grab you, and it's just a lot of experimentation, trying new things, seeing how far you can push the boundary, and then just trying to have, that's the tricky part, is pushing the boundary, but then knowing when to, like, okay, dial it back just a little. But most of the time, it's just a lot of fun just trying to test those boundaries.
And then, Amy, same sort of question. So after it's recorded and it's done, you've got to go out and play it live on stage. You probably did the video first, right? And then
we did. Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, we did it in our live shows before it was actually released because it was my second single.
Oh.
Because I Just Want You to Know is the first one, and then Party Like a Redneck. We needed a follow up, and Party Like a Redneck was already recorded, so we were already doing it in our live shows before we actually physically did the video and released it.
So, all right, so then I'll ask the question a little bit differently. So when you're playing this song live, how did it change? How did the performance of it change? Because, again, I'm thinking as you get, You put this song in front of a live audience, they probably get pretty excited about it. It might be the kind of thing where you might keep playing longer than the 3 minutes or 3.5 minutes of the original song because people get into it. And I'm just guessing. Correct me if I'm wrong here.
Yeah, definitely it's a song that fans have really captured and I kind of earned that reputation as the redneck princess. I don't even know where that came from. Did you start it? Did you start that rumor?
I gathered Gretchen Wilson's been off duty for a while.
So
the community yeah. needed a new princess.
Let's start some rumors about that Rose chick.
Could be. I mentioned about your kids, and if people are joining us here and they haven't seen the previous interview, they don't know much about you. You had been recording, and then you took time off. You took quite a bit of time off to be a mom and to raise your girls. How old are the girls now?
My oldest is she's gonna be 14. And so I started singing at a really young age. I was 5, and I was 13 when I got noticed by an independent label in Ontario here, and I signed with them to do an album, which was a gospel album. That's what they were wanting at the time. So at 13, I released an album and had really good success with them in the gospel area. And, gospel's great, but it wasn't really my true passion. Country has always been my passion. So at 16, we went on, and after we were done touring with that album, we went on to release a country EP, K, with 3 songs on it. And, we had success with that as well. We did some touring, got to do some great stuff with that album. And then, I decided I'm not getting any younger. I want to have a family. And, clearly it's really hard to have a family and raise a family when you're kind of in that spotlight, right? So it was time for me to step back and, do what I wanted to do and follow my heart. And, that was become a mom. So in that time, I got to, watch my kids grow and develop and, do things with them. And then, I met Marty and Glenn. I actually think I met them when I was pregnant with my third daughter. And very, very pregnant with my third daughter. And it was after I had her that I realized, I want to get back into music. It's where I'm meant to be. It's where my passion is. So I'm back with a brand new attitude and, a brand new whole aspect on everything.
And how is it different recording and playing music with this built-in audience, these girls? I mean, how do they see you at all as the singer? Are you still just, oh, that's just mom?
No, I think I told you this in the previous interview. So Party Like a Redneck, when Party Like a Redneck came out and it was doing really well on radio and the video had been picked up by CMT, all 3 of my kids are in Party Like a Redneck, aspirationally through the video. So it was funny because my daughter comes home from school and I guess some of her friends have seen the video. And she says to me, she goes, "Mom, when do you think we're going to get me security?" And I was like, why do you need security? And she's like, "Well, the paparazzi are going to want to know what your kids look like, right?" I was like, when it gets to that point, I'm sure I'll get security decked out for you, But to them, they have their starstruck moments where, they kind of brag to their friends, "My mom's a country singer and my mom did this," but to them, I'm just their mom. And, it's funny because even when we were practicing before we got on this interview with you, my youngest daughter, Ella, was sitting here dancing, like she was running the show, look at me. So
I was actually just going to bring that up.
Yeah. Yeah, so they just kind of go with the flow, and to them I'm just that girl that sings. I'm their mom.
And they're your new choreographers from what we've seen on Facebook, right?
Absolutely, they are. In fact, I'm pretty sure they'll just take over the show one day. Out with the old and in with the new, right?
That was fun. I just watched that again this afternoon. I remember when you posted it, but I went back through things and I was just like, "Oh, those girls are so cute."
Like their mom, right?
Like their mom, of course.
Like their mom.
Like their mom.
But cute. Don't let anybody tell you they look like their daddy.
I'm just staying out of this whole family. So I want to get to the second song in a second, but I got to ask you, what you've been spending a little more time in Nashville the last 2 years, obviously with the awards and going down there for things. What have Americans forgotten about country music that Canadians could teach them?
Oh, why don't you answer this?
You know what? One thing that I've discovered is I think because Canadians, you have to stand out a bit in order to get noticed. I think Canadians aren't as afraid to try different things, try venturing outside that sort of bubble of what expected country music is. And, you know, it's not necessarily good, not necessarily bad, it just is what it is. And it just seems like when we're in Nashville and have some of those players, that music from Canadian writers, it's kind of like a little bit of a breath of fresh air for them, because it's kind of steps outside of that, you know, quote unquote Nashville formula that is just so established. I mean, obviously you get great music from everywhere, but that just seems to be something that really sets Canadians apart, I think.
Good answer. That was great. That sounded really great.
Yes, and thank you. Amy thanks you for saving her from saying something politically incorrect.
I just didn't want to get the mean fan letter, so if it's Marty, I was like, oh.
Well, I just saw another thing with that, though, is...
Go ahead, please.
Not only Canadians having to stand out in, like how much bigger the U.S. is compared to Canada, but
yeah.
Because we do have our smaller sandbox. Oh, it's a huge sandbox,
Canada,
but a smaller population, obviously.
We all play in the same sandbox together. We build castles.
But it lets us have the opportunity to make mistakes and try different things. And
absolutely.
That I think Americans feel more pressure to succeed in mm-hmm. such a big marketplace.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Well done. You've saved both your victims.
Did you give him an A? A+?
He gets an A.
Or back bacon.
A. Back bacon, A. Hey, let's go see some Blue Jays games, eh? I'm sorry, I won't never do that again. Amy, the second song you're going to play for us today is, of course, the newest one, "Show Up Naked and Bring Beer." What's the story on this one? If I didn't inspire it, what is the story?
Well, I didn't write it, but if I did write it, it would definitely be because of you. there's been so many times that I wanted to just show up at your house naked with beer, just to show my appreciation for how handsome you are.
Oh, here it goes. Here it goes again, folks. Now, tell us about something about the song. No one wants to hear any more about how good-looking I am.
So this is a song that actually kind of fell in our lap. It was brought to me by one of the other producers in Nashville that had worked on this with us. And this is a song that was written by three Nashville songwriters. I don't know the story behind it. I don't know, you know, if one of them showed up naked at someone's house, but I just knew that it was brought to me and they thought that I'd be a good fit for it because, you know, with the word naked and beer, they said, Amy Rose!
Amazing what a reputation will do for you, right?
I know, exactly. Well, so okay. And I was like, it's totally me. I could picture myself definitely doing that.
Well, I had to ask, because last time one of the songs you sang, you surprised me and said it had actually been a Backstreet Boys song.
Yes, I just want you to know, yes.
So,
yeah.
I had to ask where this one came from.
It ended up being a great hit in the UK. That song is still going strong. So, you know, it ended up being a great hit. I'm glad I did that one.
All right. Well, folks, again, this is Amy Rose singing and Marty Beecroft playing. Show up naked and bring beer.
Boys, when they want a girl's attention, they're set up to get hit her like a man on a mission. Take her out to dinner, rent a limousine, shower her with flowers, say the sweetest things. But girls, when a boy catches her eyes, there's a long list of little tricks that we try. Playing our nails, girl, her hair, trying to sign it with you, wear jeans or a little band dress. We change our mind a million times, and when we finally do decide, we worry about a girl we impress. Trust me, girls, I tried it, and I finally decided that it don't matter what you wear. All you gotta do to make him notice you is show up. Girls, we like romance and passion, mixed with a little bit of bad boy action. We shower them with sugar to make them want the spice. Waiting to the naughty, play like we're nice. A girl's gotta do what she has to, even though we know that we don't have to. Paint our nails, curl our hair, try to decide if we should wear the jeans or the little band dress. We change our mind a million times, and when we finally do decide, we worry about if you'll be impressed. Trust me, girls, I tried it, and I finally decided that it don't matter what you wear. All you gotta do to make him notice you is show up naked. Hey! Oh, trust me, girls, I tried it, and I finally decided it don't matter what you wear. All you gotta do to make him notice you is show up naked and bring me.
I love it. I think it's a great follow-up to Party Like a Redneck.
Thank you.
I don't think I want to be the mom whose kid, you know, hears that song at some point between high school and college. But, you know.
I'll send them to Marty.
Yeah. Yeah. Marty can be the one to deal with the discipline problems.
From that. In between to kind of smooth the ice, right?
Boy, you know, one of those girls is going to get hit at college with a, well, why don't you just show up and shut me up? I mean, you're pretty clear that, well, anyway. So before I get myself in any further trouble, all right, so this song is going to be available, if people are watching it when this posts, it'll be available within the next probably week or two. You'll be able to find it. Is there an album down the line? Are we going to see a bigger collection of music soon?
You know, I think that's our goal, and we've said that probably for the last. I think I said it the last time I was on the show 2 years ago, right? We keep doing these songs and we keep releasing them, but eventually we just want to put them on a full album. But right now they're singles. They're working as singles, so we're just going to keep them as singles.
It's a singles world. I mean, I get that completely. You know, it's like people. I think. The music industry hates it, but I mean, consumers love that they can just buy the song that they want, and that's
exactly.
It. And if Party Like a Redneck leads to, you know, show up naked and bring beer, then all that's great.
All good, right? All good. All fair and more.
I mean, I'm not a big ballad guy, but if I hear songs like that, I will spend whatever it is, $99, $1.29, whatever it is, to get that song because I want to hear it 100 times. Unfortunately, you don't get paid every time I hear it on my iTunes player.
No, no.
But you could retire if you did.
But I, well, that would be good.
So what's next? What do you got coming up next? Performances, more music? What's the plan?
Yeah, so we're working on some more songs. Obviously, we're promotion gear mindset for this song. You know, we've got shows lined up for the summer. It's festival season this summer. It's always festival season every summer, right? So we want to be everywhere. You know, we want to be that bad rash that nobody, you know, or everybody likes. Nobody likes. So we want to be that bad rash that nobody likes. That came out wrong.
That bad redneck rash that no doctor can explain.
Right, right. But everybody wants it because all the cool kids have it.
That's right.
See, you saved me. That was good.
All right, folks, listen. You can find Amy Rose's new single, Show Up Naked and Bring Beer, as well as the previous song, Party Like a Redneck, and all of the rest of her music, anywhere that music is sold, or you can order it right now at a great price at MrMedia.com. If you're watching on MrMedia.com, underneath the video, over to the left or to the right, you'll see the art that goes with Show Up Naked and Bring Beer. You'll also see the art that goes with Party Like a Redneck. Click on it right now. You'll download the single, and you'll have it instantly. I recommend it. As I said, I have played Party Like a Redneck so many, many times. It's a wonderful song. It's just, you'll love it. It's a great party song. Great to get the party started at your house or your dorm or in your neck of the woods, you know, if you're living outdoors, whatever it might be. I don't know what you do about electricity. Well, batteries, I guess. Amy, what's your website? Where do you want people to come by and see you?
Yeah, so you can definitely check me out at amyrosemusic.com. That's AmyroseMusic.com. And from there, you'll find all of my links to my social media, because that is what everybody's doing, right? Social media.
Facebook, Twitter, follow her.
Tweet me.
Tweet her.
Tweet me. Google me.
On the website, people can find, if you've got some live gigs coming up, they can find you there.
Absolutely. Just go underneath shows and it will tell you everything.
All right. Well, listen, Amy, Mr. Awesomeness.
I like this.
And who's the kid now?
Is that kind of a surprise? That's what Amy said I should just call you.
I did.
So as not to not to cause you a problem with the witness protection program. Amy Rose, Marty Beecroft, thank you guys. Great to see you. Thank you so much for joining us today on Mr. Media.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm glad we still have the special rapport.
We have that bond. It's unbreakable, baby.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank in the Buzz Burbank Newsroom, preparing for you another Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Do you like good stories? Boy, I sure do. I turn over a lot of stones each day to make sure I don't miss the best ones. Sure, some make me angry, and some make me sad, and some make me laugh, and isn't that what makes us human? I'm proud of the fact that I pack more news into my 10 or 15 minutes a day than the evening news does in a half hour. It's a free podcast at BuzzBurbank.com, or you can subscribe free at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or get it on any RSS device. It's like a newspaper for your head. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, another Realm Network presentation. Day mornings right here on the Realm Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the George and Tony Entertainment Show. Prepare for awesome mediocrity.
We're the Cousin Oliver of the Realm Network. I'm George.
And I'm Tony.
And we're a weekly family-friendly podcast about pop culture.
From our point of view.
At RealmNetwork.com. The George and Tony Entertainment Show from the Realm Network.
This is Snake. Do you read me, Otacon?
Loud and clear, Snake.
Did you listen to the latest episode of the Gaming Marathon on the Realm Network?
Of course. They really know their stuff about gaming, especially that Usid guy.
Yeah, but that Shirok guy is a real jerk. I don't like him.
Regardless, the reviews are spot on and they tell it like it is.
That's for sure.
What happened, Snake? Were you spotted?
Nah, it's just Lowell Meltzer crying about the O's again.
Whew. Close call.
I better continue the search for Metal Gear, but keep listening to the Gaming Marathon each week.
You got it, Snake.
New every Monday afternoon right here on the Realm Network.
It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Lowell. And if you're fans of Don and Mike, you may know who we are.
Our number one interns. You've met them on the show. They're the guys that ate all the junk and they were outside with each other holding hands with a sign that said that they loved each other wearing the dunce caps.
And what you may not know is that we started out as fans back in their WAVA days.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Mark and Lowell.
These are two guys that we once actually called them our proteges, didn't we?
And now we have our own show, so we want you to give it a shot. Just check us out at the Realm Network, realmnetwork.com, or you can go to markandlowell.com.
This distance is futile. It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday evenings right here on the Realm Network. And catch the Poor Premium Show Friday nights.